My name is Ruby, and I'm a compulsive overeater. So I was thinking about an OA story. So it kind of forced me to think about the beginning of my relationship with food. And I would say it started when I was nine. Up to nine, I was in survival mode a lot, and food was just something you would hopefully get. So that kind of set me up for, you know, like having a relationship with food. And I landed in the last foster home that I lived in. And these people were from Tennessee. And they were like really from Tennessee. They, you know, my foster father was a preacher. His name was J.W. Davis. He had wavy hair that, well, you know, just the whole nine yards. And they ate food from the South, which I was not familiar with. I mean, I was used to like Kraft macaroni and cheese and just, you know, crap food most of the time. Well, actually alternating with like king crab and king salmon. So it was this odd, like really good food and really bad food. So anyway, these people they fried everything, even their vegetables. They used to make lots of desserts. And I mean, I just was in heaven. And of course I immediately gained weight. I never was really obese, but I was, because I was really active as a young person, but I learned real quick that food was comforting. Food was something I could have right away. It was actually my first drug of choice. And so, you know, in my teen years, my life got kind of unstable again, and I wasn't living with that family anymore. And I was back to living like in survival mode. And I had some weird, I wouldn't call them weird. I had some, my relationship with food and my relationship with my body changed drastically. I started withholding food, and I started, you know, wanting to be skinny and wanting to be fit. And my relationship with my body, I got into like compulsive hiking, compulsive running, compulsive everything. And I ate a lot of bread because my grandmother made homemade bread. So I swear, I think you can live off of bread. And that's it, bread, butter, and jam, like for a whole year, because I think that's something that I did once. So I also got into like smoking cigarettes, which helped me not eat as much. I got into drugs and alcohol. And then fast forward to like when I quit drinking alcohol. I was 24 when I finally stopped. And you know, I started having a problem with the food again. I mean, I had gone from like 10 years old to 24 without any real weight issues. But when I started putting down my other drugs of choice, then I started picking up the food. And so my first OA meeting was in like, I think it was in 1987. That was my first OA meeting. And I noticed there were a lot of women there. They were at different stages of physical recovery. And at that point, physical recovery was all I really cared about. I couldn't figure out what the heck would you talk about other than physical recovery. I mean, it was just kind of alien to me. And yet the very first meeting I went to, I really felt like I belonged. You know, I was like, okay, this is, I think, where I belong, even though I wasn't going to actively. I remember someone had a grace sheet and I latched onto that because I was like, oh yeah, okay. I'm going to not eat and I'm going to get skinny and my life's going to get better. And I wasn't able to sustain that type of abstinence for very long. So I got in and out of the program, meaning, actually, I hadn't really worked a program in OA the first time I went. It was probably 12 years before I went in and actually, yeah, I think that's when I met Wendy. And I remember hearing her at a meeting talking about addictions and that she was also a compulsive overeater. And she was brave enough to share it at a non-OA meeting, but another 12-step meeting. And I was like, wow, okay. So there are people who are alcoholics and have food issues too. So she became my sponsor. And that's when I really started working the program. And I have to say that's when I really began a healing journey. And for me, that was going to be necessary. I didn't know it was necessary at the time. I thought I was just going to be putting the food down, you know, learning how to eat better, getting into better shape. What I didn't know was that once I put the food down, all the reasons why I ate the food was going to come up, you know, and just kind of, and that still happens to me today. I mean, luckily I've been abstinent for a while, like 5 months. I'm really happy for that. Thank you everybody for being part of my program. And my healing, this past 5 months, the healing that I've done hasn't been as scary. Or when it is, it's only for a short period of time. And I've been able to use my abstinence like a life ring and go, okay, I'm not gonna eat. I'm just gonna get through this and allow whatever it is to happen. And usually it doesn't take as long and it isn't as overwhelming as I think it's gonna be. But the beginning of my recovery, I believe that food still worked for me. So I would relapse and I discovered something that what I hated was, okay, I'd be abstinent for a week or two and then I would not be. And then I'd call up my sponsor and, you know, we'd go, okay, we're gonna do this. And it always felt good, like, yes, I'm gonna be saved. And then my first like 4 days of abstinence, I was a wreck. And I would call constantly, you know, like, oh, I can't do this, you know, and I felt like it was, I mistakenly thought that if I had any length of abstinence, it was going to be like those first 4 days, because I have no perspective usually when I'm in and out of my recovery to this day. I mean, in and out of my food or in and out of the disease. So I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if I want to be abstinent because I'm just going to whine the whole entire time because I'm not able to eat the things that I want to eat and I feel so raw, you know. And luckily, my sponsor guided me through that and I was able to get, you know, actually experience abstinence. That was, you know, really quite wonderful. And I have to say, my life abstinent feels so much better, even when it feels bad. Because like I said, if I'm going through something, it doesn't last for as long, it isn't as intense. And if I don't relapse, I can get through it to the other side and not have to go through those first few days of feeling raw and like a whiner. So the food thing, I've my relationship with food and my relationship with my body is more sane. That was something that in the second step, I had to understand the insanity part of my relationship with my body and my relationship with my food. And I also was a love addict and a sex addict. So sometimes I get into this cycle of like, okay, I'm going to get in shape so I can get a partner so that I can do this other addiction that I like a lot. And then when that wouldn't work, then I'd go back to the food. When I went to a 12-step meeting for OA, which I totally recommend, which I'm pretty sure everybody at this meeting has done, I heard about stuff like that. Like there's this one, I forget which step it is, but it talks about like licking your wounds and then licking a few platters at the same time. And it was like, oh my God, that's me. Like I try to, oh, and there was this question in the book, the workbook, that changed my recovery in all of my different recoveries, this one simple question. And it talked about, you know, getting what you want, like your will, your misguided will. So it was probably the second step. But the question was, even when you got what you wanted, was it enough to make you happy? And I'm like, oh my God, that was like a real crystallized moment where I'm like going, no. I mean, I've spent lots of time trying to manipulate the universe to get what I want. And then when I get what I want, I'm still not happy. It was like freedom to understand that that was what I was doing. And part of my insanity is that I could never come to that conclusion on my own. So I'm really grateful for the OA workbook. And I still have my first OA workbook. And I have a second OA workbook that I haven't filled in. The first one I filled in and I look at it every once in a while. And I mean, there might come a time when I'd want to do that again just because it's so insightful. And it's so concise about the issues with food and the issues with my will and self-love and all that good stuff. So, you know, I try to be a good example of what the program does for me. I find that when people ask me, because I work in a job where people will notice things and say stuff, If it feels right, I will just say, you know, I've gone to Overeaters Anonymous most of my life because I'm a compulsive overeater and I'm powerless over food and my life gets unmanageable really quick. That's the only thing that's been able to restore me to sanity. I'm working a program. I want to thank Wendy and Karen for being my sponsors. I want to thank all of the people that have gone to meetings, and all of you here have gone to meetings with me over the years, and for my recovery, because I wouldn't have it if I did it on my own. One thing I want to talk about is my last relapse, which my abstinent date is August 1st, 2020. In a very short amount of time, and with not a large weight gain, I did gain weight. I got my type 2 diabetes came back really fast. And it was like within like a 5-month period of time that I changed my eating and I gained like 13 pounds. And when I went into the doctor, he said, oh my God, you know, you need to do this, this, and this, this, all of this blood work is like, you know, you're closer to, so I guess I went from the threat of having type 2 diabetes to totally having it now. I mean, I have it now. It's managed, yay, thanks to OA. But because of that, I guess what I'm trying to say is that I saw how progressive my disease was last year. And it made an impression upon me to know that oh my God, I'm no longer, I mean, the doctor was like looking at me right in the eyes and repeating, you know, no, you have it. It's just managed right now. So like doing A, B, C, and D isn't going to make it go away. It's here. It's here to stay, but you have it managed. And he told me that I was lucky I had it managed. And I said, well, no, luck has nothing to do with it. I go to OA. That's the only way I could manage it, because my last numbers were really, really good. And I felt good about that. And I have OA to thank for that. I mean, and in the ABC part of the one of the books, it talks about the mind, the body, the spirit. And one of them talks about how not only do we get a life back, I mean, not only we get like a healthy body back, we get this wonderful life too on top of it. And a lot of people that go to diet programs, you know, or whatever, usually don't get their body back or get healthy again, and definitely don't get into a program that actually promotes healing and being in the present and learning how to get out of yourself and be of service to others. So I'm grateful for that. Thank you, everybody. I'm going to mute my dealy now. Thanks.